May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 270. Gird thy loins up, Christian soldier. Lo, thy captain calls thee out. Let the danger make thee bolder. War in weakness, dare in doubt. Buckle on thy heavenly armour. Patch up no inglorious peace. Let thy courage wax the warmer as thy foes and fears increase. 270.
Thank you. Our reading from the sacred and holy word of God is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3 and into chapter 4. The Gospel is recorded by Matthew, chapter 3 and a part of chapter 4. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Gracious and merciful Lord God, we have been reminded of that great commandment which is required of each and every one of us. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Lord, as we now come to worship, we pray that thou wouldst deliver us from the spirit of mockery and grant to us that spirit of humble, living worship. Send down from above thy Holy Spirit into our hearts and grant unto us that life without which we can never worship thee aright. Do arise this day in thy risen power and shine in our hearts, just as the natural sun is now arisen upon the earth and giveth light. So, most gracious God, do arise into our hearts and dispel the darkness of unbelief and sin. And may, Lord, we see ourselves in thy light, as poor sinners, needing mercy and pardon, as poor sinners who have to face the holy judgment seat of God, as poor sinners who will spend an eternity, that never-ending period, either in thy eternal presence or in eternal torment, pain and misery. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst also shine on the Son of Righteousness and show us thyself as the friend of sinners. And grant in each heart that cry for mercy, that cry for pardon, that cry for help, that cry for deliverance, that cry for Jesus. A desire to know thee as our Father, as our Saviour, as our Comforter, our Guide, our Friend, our Lord and Master, our Covenant God. Lord, shine upon thy word today and do fill us with Christ. And grant the power of thy Holy Spirit may speak with profit thy truth into the hearts of thy people gathered. Meet each case before thee and may none go away unmet, disappointed. Give a case to those who have not got a case. Lord, open the eyes of the blind. Who see nothing of their sin, and who see no beauty in thee. Give life, Lord, to those who are dead. Give liberty to those who are in Satan's bondage, who are tempted and harassed by him. Give pardon to those who feel their guilt, their sin. Give repentance to those who feel hardened. And show mercy unto thy flock. Bless this church and the people. We pray and commend them unto thee. Do bless our beloved brethren, the deacons of this cause. Grant them all needed help and wisdom in the office that thou hast called them to. Lord, may they be like those two on the Emmaus Road, as they walked together Jesus drew near and walked with them. So be with them, Lord, in that solemn responsibility thou hast called them to. Supply their needs. Grant unto them thy blessing and encouragements. Grant help in the choice of the hymns that we sing this day. May there be a sweet confirmation between thy praises that are sung and that which is that we trust thy will for us to meditate in thy truth. Lord, teach us what we sing and lead us into those paths. May we sing prayerfully. And may our hearts be filled with true praise and thanksgiving and adoration unto thee. For all thy many mercies unto us. For all thy kindness. For our daily benefits that thou dost give unto us. Health, strength, possessions, careers, families. Lord, these all come from thy hand. Above all, we would be thankful for thy glorious gospel. And so, Lord, when we come into thy house, may our hearts be filled with thanksgiving and praise unto thee, for thou art well worthy to receive it. Bless each church member. May they be knit together in union and love. May they walk together in fellowship and in peace. May they have thy presence with them and thy sacred help. Grant them wisdom in conducting the business of this church. And do draw near unto them as they remember month by month thy sufferings around thy table. Add unto them such as shall be saved. May this be a living, exercised, fruitful church, a field which the Lord God has blessed. Bless the ministry of thy servants in this pulpit and the read sermons from time to time. And bless each member of the congregation. Put thy fear in each heart. Visit each soul. Give each that appetite for the things of God. Bless those in business life and help them in all their cares and needs and their burdens. Help them to lay their burdens upon thee. Prove thee to care for them. And grant thy help to parents to bring up children in thy fear, and may they live to see answers of peace to their prayers for them. And Lord, do watch over the young and rising race. We thank thee for them, that generation to follow. May they be kept to thy house and thy ways. May they be called by thy grace early in life and be made useful in this house of prayer in the years to come. Bless those at the end of life's journey, in the evening time. Sanctify old age, weariness, weakness. The shadows of life lengthen. The judgment seat draws closer. May it be their exercise, Lord, to be made ready to depart and to be with Jesus Christ. May it be their one desire, the one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Bless one in the Bethesda home and grant unto her thy help. Visit her in her soul and if it's thy will, grant healing in her body. Restore her to this house of prayer and to her home and family. And any other, Lord, who are unwell, Any, Lord, who have any cross that they have to bear, any burden, any trial, Lord, draw near unto them. And, Lord, lead them to Calvary. May they have strength to bear their burdens. By faith, seeing thee bear thy burdens. Do now, Lord, lead us to thy cross. And say to each one, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Grant now thy help. Be unto us all that we need. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 229. Omnipotent Lord, my Saviour and King, thy succour afford, thy righteousness bring, thy promises bind thee compassion to have. Now let me find thee, almighty to save. 229.
seeking the Lord's help. I ask your prayerful attention this morning to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. The Acts of the Apostles, the 8th chapter, reading verses 36 and 37. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And a eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. I realise that this is not the first time I've had to bring this word before you. As I travelled up here yesterday, this sacred and solemn subject seemed to weigh with some weight upon me. And so I feel that I must bring it again before you. May there be a sacred purpose. We have here in our text one of the sacred solemnities of Zion, one of the ordinances of his house. And we have here the qualifications of those who have the right to walk in this path. I want to begin by reminding you of what that sacred, holy ordinance of baptism, believers' baptism, speaks of. The word baptism, if you go back to the original, means to completely immerse in water, or to bury. And that immediately reminds us of the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we must ever keep in mind this solemn point, because this is a much abused ordinance. The ordinance of believers' baptism never saved anyone. There are those who wrongly believe that if you are baptized in water, you will get to heaven. Friends, Scripture shows quite clearly that that is not the case. Judas Iscariot was baptized and was lost and is in hell this morning hour. The dying thief, as far as we are aware, was never baptized, and yet he's in heaven today. And so when we come to this sacred ordinance, we must come with a right view of it. It is a path for saved sinners, saved by God's grace, to walk in. And throughout Scripture, this point is continually made. We read of John the Baptist and how he refused to baptize those who gave no evidence in their life of being real believers. When our Lord was taken up into glory, one of his last words to his disciples was, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Again, emphasizing the point that it is believing which is a salvation. And it is believers alone who have a right to that path. We could speak of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. If the Lord's opened your heart to show you your need of salvation, your need of Jesus Christ, and has made Jesus Christ precious unto you, then you can agree with this eunuch, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." But now let us come briefly, with the Lord's help, to what that sacred holy ordinance speaks of. We have a liquid grave. And as that one, that believer, goes down into that water, so we remember that Jesus Christ went down into those awful sufferings in the Garden of Gethsemane. As that one is completely immersed in that water, so we are reminded of the deep sufferings of Jesus Christ, of how in that garden, in that judgment hall, on that cross, he was completely overwhelmed with suffering. It speaks of a suffering Saviour. It speaks of how the Lord Jesus Christ went that path. And that one who's going in that way is professing that they believe and they hope that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for them. On the wings of faith uprising, Jesus crucified I see, while my soul, his love surprising, cries, I suffered all for thee. All the anger of an almighty, holy, infinite God. God is infinite in all his attributes. You know, as you cannot measure the love of God, so we cannot measure the anger of God either. The Lord Jesus Christ bore that anger upon that cross. As that burden of the sins of the church was laid upon him, we see him sorrowing unto death. We hear those cries, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We see the suffering, holy Lamb of God on the ground in Gethsemane's garden. Child of God, that's where your sin took him. That's where he went in love for your soul. And that mysterious, sacred, holy sweat of great drops of blood dropping down to the ground. He had you upon his heart, and your sins, the punishment of them, the contemplation of bearing that anger in its full weight upon that cross produced that holy sweat. See him in that judgment hall, mocked, ridiculed, despised, hated. Condemned. He is brought before, we read here, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Child of God, why does he not open his mouth? Except when challenged on his Godhead. Believer, because he went into that judgment hall with your sin upon his conscience. And he knew what it was to stand before that higher court of heaven. And the charge was made, pay in full what the church owed. see him bear that crown of thorns. Those thorns, the fruit of sin, upon the innocent head of him who had never sinned. That holy back, scourged. Those holy hands and those holy feet nailed to that cross. That spear plunged into that holy side. And with his stripes ye are healed. Then consider those holy sufferings in his soul. As he hangs upon that cross, he bears that full weight of crushing anger. Of the wrath of an offended God against the sins of his church, against your sin, child of God, you who he has said, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn. On that cross, he bore that anger that you would have borne. He felt what it was to know the frown of Almighty God, that you, child of God, might know what it is to feel the smile of Almighty God in your soul. The bitter part of that cup, he had always known the smile of his Father. Now to feel his frown. He had always known the nearness of his Father. Now to feel his absence. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? A very deep mystery. Child of God, when our Lord cried that from the very depths of his heart, in his feelings he was going through the deepest suffering. To deliver your soul from hell itself. In hell, they feel forsaken of God. They know nothing of the mercy of God. They know nothing of the love of God. They know nothing of the compassion of God. They are left alone with their own sins. And if you live and die a stranger to what this ordinance speaks of, the substance of suffering Saviour, you will know what it is to feel forsaken in your soul, to know no mercy. Almighty God, the Father did not show mercy on his Son. when the weight of that unpardoned sin of his church was placed upon him, though he had never sinned. If you die with sins unforgiven, Almighty God will not show mercy on you. Remember that. The child of God, you who have known his mercy, you who have known a little of his love, you who have known his grace in your heart, the price of that encouragement in your soul, the price of feeling a little of the peace of God, the price of knowing that smile and hearing that word, thy sins which are many are all forgiven thee. Came through that greatest of all costs, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? The Lord Jesus Christ hangs on that cross, and he pays in full that price, and he will not die, and he will not come down from that cross. Although they taunt him, it's the devil using these ungodly men to tempt him to come down from that cross. He hangs there in love. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What does that mean? It means this. As he hung on that cross, every sheep for whom he died passed upon his heart. And every one of the sins that they had committed, he felt in full the wrath of God upon them. And he paid that price. The greatest of sins, and those that you think are the least of sin. But you know, friends, there's no such thing as a little sin. What you call the least of sins, if it is unpardoned, will cast you down to hell forever. But child of God, all your sins were washed away in that precious sin-atoning blood. And it was not until that last sin was pardoned, and that payment made, that our Lord says it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up that ghost. And this is what when a believer goes through that sacred pathway in obedience to the Lord's command, is what they are saying. They are saying, I believe and I hope and I trust that what the Lord went through that solemn day, he did on my behalf. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And in so doing, they bury all their old hope, their old religion, their old life. They bury all those false hopes of getting to heaven on their own works. and say, in effect, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so, friends, this is not an ordinance to be taken lightly. It's not a step to be taken carnally. It's a step to be taken reverently, prayerfully, depending upon Almighty God. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." This word believe, it means to trust with all your heart. It means to depend upon God for your whole soul's salvation. It means to rest in Him. It doesn't just mean to literally, just with your head, believe that He is the Son of God and that He is God the Son. It goes far deeper than that. It's trust, it's dependence. It's casting your care upon Him. "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And one who does believe, the fruit of it will be shown in their lives. Go back to what we read of. In Matthew chapter 3, what our Lord said to those scribes and Pharisees, Pharisees and Sadducees, who gave no fruit in their life, that they were children of God. "Here is the fruit. They flee from the wrath to come. They are brought to realize that they have offended an almighty, holy God. And they fled. And where have they fled to? Not to self. Not to any fellow human being. Not to any church. But they fled to Jesus. Bring therefore fruits meet for repentance." Margin reading, answerable to amendment of life. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, there will be a change in your life from when you didn't believe it. There must be. There will be that repentance. And what is repentance? It's godly sorrow over your sin. It's an acknowledgement that you have sinned. It's an acknowledgement that you have offended Almighty God. It's an acknowledgement that He would be perfectly just to cast you into hell. It's a grief that you have in you that nature which so offends a kind, loving, precious God. And then it's a hatred for those sins And it is a desire to leave those sins, to leave the path of temptation that brought you into those sins, and to leave those sins themselves. That's what true repentance is. It depends upon Jesus Christ to save from those sins. But it also seeks that he will give the grace that they should no longer live in sin, but should walk in newness of life. See, there's a coming up, isn't there? From this watery grave. There's that rising, as it were, to a newness of life, a new life. And that life, for a believer, is walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and seeking to be a humble follower of the Lamb, to have that living faith, that trust, that hope, to seek and to find that mercy, to keep yourself unspotted from the world. No, you cannot eat at the table of the Lord and the table of devils. There will be and there must be that separation, and if you are a believer, you'll desire that separation. You won't be able to follow the world. You won't enjoy its company, its pursuits, its language, its spirit. Your desire will be to leave all that and to be found in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be found in the presence of his people. Thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you will come to him in prayer, pleading his name and blood, asking that he will give you that forgiveness of sin, asking that he will give you grace to walk each day, asking that he will give you that humility, that faith to walk in that newness of life. You know what it is to depend upon him, to rest in his faithfulness. You'll know what it is to find Jesus Christ to be precious. Is Jesus Christ precious to you? You can say yes. Then you have a right to walk in this way. If you have that humble hope that the Lord Jesus Christ did live for you, that he did die for you, that he did rise again, then you are found in that word, if ye love me, keep my commandments. You desire to keep the Lord's commandments, don't you? This is one such commandment that he commands his sheep to walk in. He himself set that example. He goes from Galilee down to that wilderness, to that River Jordan. I understand it was a distance of about 60 miles. Our Lord probably walked a fair distance. And then, did you notice what he answers to John? Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He didn't say it becometh me, it becometh us. In other words, those who have a hope in the righteousness of Christ are welcome, are indeed commanded to follow in this way, and only those. No one who is a complete stranger to Jesus Christ, no one who doesn't find Jesus precious, no one who does not have a hope in the blood of Jesus Christ, and who that precious blood means nothing to, has a right to walk in this way. It is a mockery so to walk. But child of God, you who do have a hope, and you who would be lying if you said you didn't, you who have proved God to be your Father, you who have proved that the name of Jesus means Saviour, because he saved you from your sins, you who have known the Holy Spirit as your Comforter, as your guide, as your defender, what right have you to refuse to walk in that way? What doth hinder me? Well, what is hindering you? You say, I am a sinner. Yes, you are. And a black sinner at that. But you know, this ordinance is for sinners, saved by grace. It's not an ordinance for angels. We don't read of a single angel that's baptized. It's an ordinance for sinners. And a loving God has ordained this ordinance for sinners. Yes, you are unworthy. But none come to follow in this path because they're worthy. They come because they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they rest on his worthiness. On his preciousness. On his all-prevailing name. What doth hinder me? Coming and telling the Lord's people of what he's done for you, is that a hindrance? It is a mountain, isn't it? But you know, friend, you aren't going to be called to walk that path alone. You are going to come leaning on your beloved Lord, and he's going to come with you. And he's not only going to prepare your heart and bring to your memory what he's done for you, but he's going to prepare the heart of the church to receive you. He's going to give you a place in their hearts. And while you are seeking to tell them prayerfully what he's done for you, they will not be criticizing you, they'll be praying for you. And you'll prove, I will make all my mountains away. And your Lord will draw near, and he will deliver you from that snare that the devil has put you in. And you'll find it to be a most precious time. As you are knit in the heart of the church, as the church is knit to you in love. What doth hinder me? The unknown way, does that hinder? That concern about that profession that you must then live, that desire not to bring a reproach and dishonour on the Lord, a good exercise to have. As I say, it's not a path we take lightly. But again, go back to what we were saying just now. The Lord, having led you this far, the Lord having given you this command, and the Lord then having brought you, and open your mouth to be received by the church. Do you think he will then leave you to walk alone? No. Every step of the way it will be leaning on your beloved. As you go through that water, you'll be leaning upon him. And then the next day, as you go about your daily business, you'll be leaning upon him. And each day of that profession, it's leaning upon him. Sufficient grace given for the day. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He will give you that tender fear, and he'll keep you by his hand so you don't bring that reproach and dishonour to him. Before I move on, there is one point. Have you considered this? Are you not bringing dishonour unto him in refusing to be obedient to this command that he's laid upon you? He may have laid upon it you for some considerable time. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Them that honour me, I will honour. He has honoured you with visiting you with his great salvation. He has honoured you by giving you those gifts of repentance and faith and love. Now the time has come to honour you, honour him. Gracious privilege. And you'll prove them that honour me, I will honour. But if you dishonour him by remaining in disobedience, you'll bring the rod. You'll know what it is to go into the wilderness, to feel his frown, until you're brought, humbled, to obey him. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And then some of you may have that hindrance of the prayer meeting. The path which exercises every one who's called to walk in that way. But what did you sing in that opening hymn? Though to speak thou be not able, always pray and never rest. Prayer's a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. Ever on thy captain calling, Make thy worst condition known. He shall hold thee up when falling, or shall lift thee up when down. Prayer's a weapon for the feeble. Yes, you feel feeble. But you'll prove, again, leaning on your beloved Lord, he will give you that help and that grace you need, even in the prayer meeting, to pour out your soul unto him. He'll give you that life. He'll give you that faith. He'll give you that desire. And he'll give you those prayers which it is his gracious will to answer. What doth hinder me? And then there may be someone here this morning who says to me, but I'm a woman. I'm silent in the church. Does it really matter whether I follow this way or not? Friend, go back to Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. Though you may be silent publicly, you will not be silent within, will you? The women in the churches are often one of the greatest pillars and encouragements because of their inward secret prayers. And the Lord hears them and he answers them. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Close with this thought. And I believe I mentioned this last time I was here, but for some reason it has remained with me. Perhaps there's one here who says, many years ago I did come, but I was told to wait. And my courage, it fails me. Well, beloved friend, you've been called to walk a deep path. But your Lord has gone before you in it, there's been teaching in it. Necessary teaching. There's been a deepening of that work. There's been that fruit in the life as a result of having to walk through that painful pathway. And now you've got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and to seek to follow him in obedience, walking in his strength, looking unto him. Ask him to give you that grace and that love to follow him. May you have that sight of the Lord on Calvary's cross and hear him say, I suffered all for thee in love. Then in love to me, walk this way. Christ has suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. The love of Christ constraineth us. May the Lord grant you to know the love of Christ in your heart. And may it constrain you. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £585, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Buss will address the Sunday school this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And there will, God willing, be a prayer meeting on Monday with an address by Mr. Chapman. Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Jempson next Lord's Day. Let us now close with hymn 836. Believer, lift thy drooping head, thy Saviour has the victory gained. See all thy foes in triumph led, and everlasting life obtained. 836.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, favour, union, communion of God the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.